Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work. Hello, and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Grace, and I am here, as always, with my very busy friend, Anas. How are you doing tonight, Anas?
Really busy, but hey, Sunday night at The Lights Work, that's, you make time for that, whatever you're doing. So glad to be back, and looking forward to tonight's episode.
Yes, you said you were really excited about tonight's episode, and I am too. This has been something we've been teasing, I guess, since our second episode when we first mentioned my brother-in-law, Nick, and he's here with us tonight. So we're welcoming my very own brother from another mother, Nick. How you doing tonight, Nick?
I'm doing just fine.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We have you here tonight because you just finished The Wheel of Time. You started reading back in October, I believe. You sent me a message and you asked me what the name of the first book was. Do you remember what you asked me?
I think I asked you if it was New Spring and you said, no, start with the other book. And I don't even remember the names of them now because it just seems to all blend. But now I'm reading New Spring. So
good guess. You might have asked me that, but you also asked me if the name of the first book was Eyes of the Dragon.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Which, isn't that the Stephen King book? Isn't it Eyes of the Dragon or Eye of the Dragon?
It is. Now, that makes sense. I would mix the two, that's for sure.
Yes, you are a big Stephen King fan, and you are just a huge reader in general, and I think that's one of the first things we bonded over when you met my sister, was that you are a huge book nerd, and I am also a huge book nerd. My sister is not really a book nerd.
That's true. I find that I actually have more things in common with you sometimes than I do with her.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why it works, right?
Yeah.
She's used to being my sister, and now she's got you there when I can't be there, you know?
It works.
So anyway, you started reading in October, and then you just finished this past Memorial Day weekend. So it took you about 7 months to finish the entire series. That's basically an average of 2 books per month. So how do you do that? You read really fast.
I actually think I read really slow. So that's a little, that's actually different to hear. But probably, you know, I usually get like a good hour and a half in a day. Depends on, you know, I'll get a little time in the morning and then I try to read for like a half an hour at night. Then when I'm on, like, if I'm out of town or whatever, I might read a little more during that time. So that's about it. I wouldn't say it was that fast, though. I feel like I read every period in common on a page. So I don't know how that could be possible, but
it sounds like you make more time for it than maybe others do. Like, I have spent months and months on the same book because I spend so much other time doing other things. And I mean, you've got 2 kids and a job and a family and, like, you know, you still make time for reading. Sounds like basically whenever you have free time.
Yeah. I mean, I work from home now. I have pretty much since a little bit before COVID. So, you know, if I'm like 10 minutes before a meeting, like I'm waiting, I might, you know, read a page or two or whatever, something like that. Because, you know, there's that, like, those lulls in between meetings or things like that that'll end up causing me to find a minute or two.
If you were to think back, were you always like a fantasy reader? Is that what you've read your whole life?
I was actually thinking that this question might actually come up. I would say yes. I think the earliest series I could remember that wasn't prescribed reading or, you know, in school or I was told to read it, I think we all probably read A Wrinkle in Time, right?
Yes.
But I actually read the rest of the series and that wasn't asked of us. After I finished that, I was like, oh, reading could be actually kind of fun. So I took, I think, a wizard. I want to say it was called a Wizards of Earthsea or something like that. It was Madeline Le Guin.
Oh, yeah. Ursula K. Le Guin. Yeah.
Yes, that's it. And I read that series, and that was the first time I read a series without actually wanting to read, you know, being told to read it. Then I think I started hating reading freshman year in high school when I had to, like, read Of Mice and Men and, like, all those books, and that seemed to be really bad. And then started liking reading again probably end of senior year when I got my first Stephen King book, and that's pretty much where it started.
It's funny. I think I've read one Stephen King book, and I think it is Eyes of the Dragon. Is that the one with the tower and the wizard traps? Okay, that's the one I've read. And again, I feel like it's many years ago, so I don't remember anything other than I think there's a climb down from the tower, maybe. Spoiler alert. I something like
so that. So there's this dragon and it has eyes.
Okay. And... but so that's, you know, so what was your first Stephen King book? What hooked you to Stephen King? Because I know you are a big Stephen King fan, and you've actually recommended the Dark Tower series, and Grace read that, you know, on your recommendation.
So, and I know Grace actually met my grandmother before she passed, but it was interesting. I read my first book because I believe my grandmother got it at like a tag sale and just picked it up. Okay. And it was the first book of the Dark Tower series. And I was like, oh, this is great. And so I said, oh, that was a really good book. Interestingly enough, that book was rewritten. I had like the old version of the paperback, and then the newer version actually ties better into the end of the series. So that was my first one. I told her I really liked Stephen King, so she would buy me Stephen King books all the time. She bought me every one of my Stephen King books, sometimes twice, sometimes three times. So I had a huge Stephen King collection, and I just kept reading. I think I would say that that's kind of where it started. And then for some weird reason, because that series is like a post-apocalyptic thing, I kind of got into that. So I read a lot of post-apocalyptic fiction after that.
That's cool. I mean, Stephen King, I think, like I said, that's the only one I've read. And I think I tried reading something else from him, and I was like, what is this horror stuff? I don't like this. And then I had read a lot of fantasy at that time, and I was like, I know what I like. And, you know, just started reading a lot of that stuff. So so you read the Wheel of Time series now. Would you call yourself a fantasy reader? Is that what you, like, would you read anything fantasy out there? Is that?
I kind of think, I've never read Lord of the Rings. And I feel like I got to tackle that at some point. I think I tried to read it, but I think it kind of gave me flashbacks of reading some of those books from ninth grade English, where it just seemed a little bit of a harder read. Mm-hmm. So I kind of stepped back from that. Yeah. But I may tackle it again. I may try. I probably won't read that series in 7 months. Just because it'll take a lot more to read that for me. But I would say yes. I have, you know, I have a couple series that I read on Amazon, and I'm like, why did I ever read this? And I just keep reading it. And it's like $1.99 a book, and it's still pretty bad. But I don't know why I keep reading. There's like typos everywhere and everything else. But for some reason, I'm invested, and I find that even with TV shows that I watch, that like once I get invested, even though I'm like, I hated it last season, but I'll watch this season anyway. And that's just kind of how it goes for me. So, yeah, I would say fantasy has been a big thing. I think, you know, one of the other things that Grace and I bonded over was Zelda. So a lot of things, video game wise and everything else, I find myself into that kind of thing. And as I'm saying that, my kids are in the other room playing the new Zelda. So
Yes, they are. So proud of my nephews. I'm sure they're way farther in the game than I am currently.
They had Ganon up tonight, so.
Wow, okay. Right. They've already beaten it, of course. So what do you like about that kind of stuff? Fantasy, Zelda, adventuring, wizards, things like that. Why does that appeal to you?
For me, I would say it's because I don't watch TV for reality. So I can't stand reality TV. I hated it. In fact, the reason why I never watched the show Lost was because at the time it looked like it was Survivor. And I was like, I'll never watch that. And I came to that show a lot later because Grace told me, she's like, oh, you'll like that show. And I did come to that show. So it's kind of, that's kind of my TV show that I compare all others to. And there, you know, I don't know. Everything else seems too real to me. And I don't like that. I look to escape reality. Reality, you know, things are a little real as it is. So don't really need that.
Yeah, no, I relate to that so much myself. That's probably the reason I would say I read fantasy too. You know, the fact that, you know, you can have fantasy without magic, but, you know, magic is not a magic system or the true source. It's the feeling of, you know, escaping and being in a world that's fantastical. Yeah, no, I totally agree. And yes, Lost is amazing, right?
Yes, and I've now watched that series probably five times, maybe six. So I am a big TV junkie. It's interesting because I would never have said that I was a fantasy reader until I realized that a lot of what I read is fantasy. Right. And I think when you brought it up just now, it kind of like really brought that home to me too. So
let's talk about the Wheel of Time. So you've read it now.
Wait. We have to.
Is it
full spoilers? We have
to. Oh yeah, that's right. We before we started recording, I was like, I'm gonna make sure I do a spoiler warning because we don't usually do a spoiler warning on the show. Usually we just put it in the description and hope people will read it. So here's your official warning, everyone. This show is going to be full spoilers, or as we like to say at The Lights Work, full spoilers. So please do not continue to listen if you have not finished the series.
So
now, Nick has not read. You just couldn't wait to say Egwene. Oh, God.
She's the armor one. That's what I wanted to say.
Oh, right. Yeah, she became the Omerlin. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Nick has not finished New Spring, so we will not spoil New Spring, except for 75% of it, I guess, is where we're at. So now that you've finished, like, how does Wheel of Time compare to other fantasy series you've read? Is it now like your favorite series of all time and you're like a Wheel of Time fan for life? Or are you just kind of like, yeah, I read this because Grace told me to and it was cool. It was fine.
No, it's definitely up there. I'll definitely read it again. I'm one of those people that I think, if I had to like rank them, obviously I would say The Dark Tower is my favorite. I've read that now three or four times, all the way through with all the companion novels. After that, I would probably put this one second. Probably third would be Harry Potter. So it's definitely up on my like Mount Rushmore, if you will. So,
and I'm so happy to hear that you're going to reread, because I think you'll like it even more when you reread it. It's so cool to go. And I told you this when we were texting, it's so cool to go back and pick up on all the little pieces that were there from the beginning. So I'm excited to have you do that. So Dark Tower is still your favorite, but Wheel of Time is number two. That's really, I'm excited about that. I didn't know that you liked it that much. So why did you wait so long to read it, even though I kept bugging you to read it for years? Was it just because the TV show is out? Was that the motivation?
I think that's what actually pushed me over the edge, because I hate watching a show or watching a movie. And I know you and I have discussed how different the Harry Potter movies are from the books. I hate when I read something afterwards. So if I was going to do it, it was going to be now, because I would have wanted to watch the show. So
wow, I didn't think I believed that for myself as much as I do after you said that, because I'm like, wait, I haven't watched The Expanse, but that's a book series people tell me to read, and it's a great show. And I'm like, wait, do I have to read the books before I watch the show? I think there is definitely, I think there are certain, you know, adaptations like Lord of the Rings. I don't think you will be like, whoa, why did I watch the movies? I'm assuming you watch the movies before you've read the books. But I think for a lot of new TV and new things like that, I think having read the books first is a good foundation to now experience something else on a different media, for sure.
I think where I learned that is actually from some of Stephen King's where they were adapted. Some of those, I mean, The Shining is it's the most well-known, you know, horror movie or whatever. And it's nothing like the book, nothing. Mm-hmm. And he did a TV movie many, many years later. And that was way closer to what the book was. And so I think that's where I learned it the first time, because I was already familiar with The Shining. And then, you know, everybody's seen that. And then when they come to, you know, read the book, I was like, oh, it wasn't anything like it. The book was actually, to me, it was a little creepier and scarier than the actual movie. So.
Yeah. So once you finish reading, hopefully in the next few weeks, you're watching the TV show, right? So when are you watching the TV show?
Probably, because a lot of my TV watching actually happens when I'm working out in the morning. So it'll probably be while I'm on the treadmill, or not on the elliptical or something.
Have you seen anything from the TV show? Like, do you have a headcanon of who Rand is or what Moraine looks? I mean, you know, I don't know if you know anything about the show.
I know that I had Googled a few names just because I wanted to see if the picture in my head was the same as what I was going to see on the TV. Some of them, I think I was a little shocked. Some of them, you know, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I guess I was just, it was, that's what kind of like drove me to do anything, but that's all I saw. I haven't, and maybe I saw like the Amazon commercial, then that was about it.
Yeah. The trepidation I had when you said you Googled names, I was like, no, don't do that. You're going to get spoiled. I am very particular about spoilers and things like that. So did anything get spoiled when you...
No, I mean, just I think I was just Googling to see what the picture of the person, like, right, I did. Right, so that's all it was. It was what was the person going to look like? And because I things don't always match with what's in your head, you know?
Yeah.
So other than how things look, or I don't know if that's important to you or not, but what do you feel like is the most important thing for them to get right in the TV adaptation?
I think for me, it's got to be the inner conflicts for that. You know, that I noticed that almost every one of the characters at some point had a really prominent portion of the book given to their inner conflicts, the emotional turmoil that they were, and it was just personal to them. It wasn't anything you know, specific, but it wasn't something they shared. It usually was just something they were trying to resolve on their own. So I think that would be the most important part for me.
Going into a TV show like this, where I think to someone like Grace and I, who were like so invested in something like this, we're looking at all the news going into it, and then nothing was really surprising. So I can imagine, you know, it'd be interesting to see what your reaction to the show would be having had no real information about the show other than, oh, it's a show about the Wheel of Time, which you've just recently read and really like. So it'd be interesting to see that. It was a successful show. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. I liked watching it a lot. In terms of, you know, kind of stepping back a little bit, you know, when you read your, you know, the Dark Tower series and now the Wheel of Time, do you read and discuss stuff with, I mean, we're texting with Grace and, you know, keeping her updated on things you were talking about. But is that something you've done with all the stuff you read? Is there a group of friends or a group of people who are your Dark Tower people that you talk with? Or is this kind of something you've always done kind of on your own and just not really talked about? Because we are talking about it right now, and this is kind of what we focus on, is this community aspect of it. So have you had that in your life as far as community?
No. Interestingly enough, my brother's not a reader. Grace knows my brother. He's just a very different person. My parents are not very educated. So it was, and most of my friends were like jocks or whatever. I'm your, you know, your typical smart jock or whatever. So I would, you know, it wasn't like I was going in the locker room after a football game. It's like, hey, did you read that book yesterday? Cause that just didn't happen. So it was, I really never really had anybody to kind of like bounce. I did make my wife read the first book of the Dark Tower, and she I remember her finishing the book and just throwing it across the room, and that was it. So that did really work very well.
It's funny. I always hear people throwing books across the room. I can never like picture myself doing that. I don't know why, but it's an interesting, you know, picture in my head where it's like, did they really hate it? Or yeah, were they like finally happy they're done with it? Like, what is that?
I think it was a little more of the, I'm finally happy that I'm done with it. I remember her saying at one point, all they did was walk. They walked the whole time. And I'm like, yes, but it was the journey. You know, you just don't get there. Like, It was definitely, I don't really have that person. It's very interesting to have a group to kind of talk about a book with, or to, you know, kind of talk about a shared interest with that. But no, I've never really had anybody to kind of bounce things off of.
Yeah. I mean, so our world, our fandom, our community, we get like a paragraph of something, and that's hours of talking with people about something like this. So that's I don't know if Grace has sent you, you know, some of the questions you've had when you finished the book. I don't know, Grace, did you send how did Rand light the pipe?
I did. I sent him the link to that, and Nick, you said you haven't watched it yet, which I think is good. It's probably good to not watch it before talking to us, because otherwise you're going to get too much information.
Yeah, I had, sent a few initial questions because I hadn't really, as soon as I finished the book, I was like, all right, you know, what happened? But then I was like, all right, let me think about some of those things a little bit afterwards. And I think some of these books like this make you think afterwards, you know, what happened there, when did that happen or why? And so it was good for me to kind of just sit there and think about it. Grace did send me a YouTube video that I say I hadn't watched yet. So if it is a copy, I'm just going to tell you, if my theory now of why he lit the pipe is a copy, it's my own copy, even though
that's right, this is an original Rand lighting the pipe theory, not influenced by any other sources. Let's hear it.
All right, I think it's because that was him first realizing that he could remake the pattern as he saw fit, because he didn't have the power to channel anymore, but he did have the, you know, after the fight, he was the winner was supposed to be able to remake the pattern. So I think that's what he was doing there.
Oh, I like that.
Theory number 11, I think that is. No, I'm just, it's just, no, it's just funny because, you know, theorizing in the Wheel of Time, not only is that something that's I mean, the series has been done 10 years, right? So there was much theorizing as the books were coming out. But even afterwards, we continue to theorize about stuff. So it's just welcome to the party. You know, the fact that you can partake in theorizing and have fun doing that. That's awesome. That is a good theory. A lot of people believe that is the case. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't that original.
No, I mean, it's just, you know. Yeah, I mean, it's because there's so many people who've talked about this forever. That's exactly what it is.
I really like that one, though, because, you know, obviously during the last battle, you see what the world would be like mm-hmm. if they both had their way. And I like the idea of thinking like Rand really can make that happen, but he only chooses to do, like, he won't choose to do it that way because he knows that that's not the answer, but he'll use it for little things.
Like the pipe. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that. Yeah. It's like great power and great responsibility kind of thing.
But what did you think off the ending? I mean, it's a huge series, right? And so much happens. There's like a novella-sized chapter in the middle of the last book, right? And then you have the epilogue and how it comes together. You know, when you finished the book, what did you think? Were you like, wow, they actually wrapped it up? Did you think that?
Yes. Okay. So it's interesting because I think maybe, I want to say it was about a year ago, I think I was complaining to Grace about some shows or some, I don't know if it was a show or a book, and I was just like, it was such a cop-out ending. Mm-hmm. I hate cop-out endings. Mm-hmm. I hate them in TV. I hate them, you know, in books. I did not think Lost, just for the record, I did not think Lost was a cop-out ending.
Me neither.
I agree.
But I do understand some people who could sit there and think that it was. I did not think there was a cop-out here at all. Other things that I would have liked to see happen, yes, or maybe things I would have liked to have explained more, but that I think that's what's good, right? I mean, the end of The Sopranos, you know, you're trying to figure out if you want to know, but you don't know, and you know, years later, maybe, like, you know, some
spoilers for Sopranos, everyone.
I think I'm like halfway through the last season of Sopranos. I haven't finished it, and I actually did. I somehow didn't hear that. So good, thank you.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna have to edit this.
I know. I'll skip over this part. I actually didn't hear. I heard something, but I didn't really hear it. So I'm okay.
Okay, cool. Do you want me to clap here so you know?
No, yeah. Did I screw that up too?
No. I'll know.
No. You're fine. You're fine.
No.
You're good.
Yeah.
I never even thought. Like, I was like, oh, you know, but you know what? I came to that probably during COVID. I think I watched The Sopranos. So I get it.
Yeah, no, I somehow, like, I think it's been like 2 years. It's like five episodes left, and I'm like, okay, I'll finish this. And I never did because I don't know, something happened. Yeah. But
well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are cop-outs that happen in many shows, and it's very annoying. That's kind of how I feel with a lot of Stephen King stuff, sorry. But at least the stuff I watched. So maybe that's not what's in the books.
No, a lot of his books are. They okay. are. He's frustrated me at times too,
yeah.
Because you're like, why did I read this? It was so good. It was going right. And then it's like, I feel like the author or the, you know, the writer or the TV show is like, all right, I got to finish this up. And yeah, it just throw it all in two pages. And you're like, no.
Yeah, I think. I don't think I've talked to anyone about The Wheel of Time and the ending of The Wheel of Time and then them complaining about they didn't wrap it up to, like, they, like, someone has never really said this, they could have done something better as to that final main battle. A lot of people have, you know, certain characters things that they said, well, maybe they could have done that a little bit better, but the actual, the arc of the actual main theme, I think was ended really well.
I would agree. Absolutely. Some characters I wish would have survived, you know, some characters I was glad they were gone, you know, like, I don't know. some of them, I mean, are we, we're fully in spoiler territory. I think I told Grace on maybe day one, I hated Edgeween, and I still did at the end, even so. She grew, but I didn't like her even at the end. She just became a different form of terrible, I guess, for me.
A lot of people feel that way.
Rereading is special, because it's interesting how you feel about people changes. It's hard to, again, you mean over 7 years versus some people have read this so many years as the books came out, so it's like a little bit different. But I think rereading gives you a, I don't know, I think it gives you a different perspective. And like Nynaeve, that's the one I was like, I don't think I'd ever like Nynaeve. And I'm like, crap, I like really like her now, you know, the second time I read through. Yeah.
I don't think I liked her until about halfway through the series. And I was like, you know what? She ain't that bad.
Yeah.
I definitely wouldn't want to hang out with her in a room, but she wasn't that bad.
If she's on my side, I'm okay.
Yeah.
that's I think Nynaeve is a great friend to have on your side.
So you sent me a few questions after you finished. One of them was, how did Rand light the pipe? Do you have any other burning questions? Is there anything you feel like wasn't resolved or you're still wondering about?
Well, I know I asked about the body switch thing at the end. I don't get how that happened. I think that, you know, that the initial questions I had, I feel like, you know, you had answered, you know, the, you know, it was sealed differently, so it's going to be different this time around and things like that. Like, those things were my initial questions. The pipe thing, I thought afterwards, I know I asked you, and that was a cop out on my part because I probably should have just tried to think about it a little. No, I wouldn't say I had any major questions at the end. I'd like to know, you know, I think some of the backstory I'm getting now, you know, kind of where Cad Swain, is that how you say your name? Where she came from. Now I'm like, all right, well, she's there.
So Cad Swain wasn't in that, you know, the New Spring novella that came out. She was not in that. Original version of New Spring, and she is in this, you know, bigger version of it. So I remember reading it and I'm like, wait, so they, I think he added her to, for this context, you know, of that she kind of always been important. She did kind of show up. She was like, we need another Moraine, you know, and she shows up, you know. That's kind of how it happens.
Yeah, and I feel like, yeah, she was an interesting character that I did not, I still don't know how I feel about her as a character. But, you know, she was necessary at that moment in time. And I think kind of to your point, I think he got rid of Moraine and was like, oh no, I need a character. I need somebody in here right now that's going to help, you know, move, you know, the plot point along. So I'll just invent this new person who comes in, and that's who this is. So that's just how I don't know. That's how I viewed it.
I kind of think Cad Swain has a purpose that becomes quite obvious, right? It's basically, how much can you push a person before they break heal themselves? So that was her purpose. And it was not a great purpose to have, but she fixed Rand, you know, to a lot of people's chagrin. That is true. That if she wasn't there, maybe this would never have happened. I mean, I can see Grace, you know, not wanting to, you know, to agree with that. But
No. I don't want to turn Nick's podcast into a Cad Swain debate, but I hate her. She's my most hated character.
I was a fan of her. I just said I get her purpose.
yes and I don't, yeah, and I the ends are good, but I don't think the ends justify the means in this case. But anyway, that's for
the shadow would have won without Cad Swain. Okay, that's fine. You want the shadow to win. Okay, I get it. It's fine.
Someone, Tam would have found his way to Rand on his own. He didn't need Cad Swain for that.
But Rand would have tried to kill Tam. That was the important part. He had to try to kill Tam. I mean, like, anyways, you're right.
Anyways.
Cad Swain's a hero.
We will have a special Cad Swain debate episode for our patrons at some point.
Interesting.
Yeah. So are you liking New Spring so far? It sounds like so far, so good.
I think if I were to pick two characters that I needed to have a backstory on, I don't think it would be them. You know, Moraine and Swan. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have chosen them. I think I would have liked to hear the story of Tam, without maybe names, so that you could keep it anonymous or like something like that. But I would have liked.
What do you mean without names? Like, oh, so you don't know who it is?
So you don't know. You don't know who Rand is. You know, oh, you know, a man. You know, some soldier. You can call him soldier the whole time, but maybe hearing a little bit about that, about how he actually got to Dragonmount and how he kind of picked Rand up and everything else. I would have liked to hear that story. So
funny you say that, because Robert Jordan had plans for two other kind of novellas, side stories that he wanted to write after he had finished the books. One was the Tam backstory, how he became a blade master, joined the Ileaner, what's it called, the ten companions.
I can't remember.
Yeah, but you know, how he became part of that whole, how someone from the Two Rivers became a blade master, mm-hmm. that backstory. So he had planned to do that. And the other was a story basically of the future, basically of Matt and Songchen. So those are things that he had planned to do, had even talked about a little bit. But this never happened or going to happen.
Interesting.
Do you know of this? I don't know if I have that book here. The Origins of the Wheel of Time. Have you?
I saw that. I think we were at a bookstore with Grace, and I think it was recently, and she's like, oh yeah, that's, you know. So I think I was like mid, I don't know, maybe like two novels in, or at that point when you were here, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I wasn't that far along, but yeah, I was like, maybe I'll pick that up at some point. So
yeah, so yeah, do you think you'd be interested in that? Because you know, that is, there's a lot of background to a big series like this, right? I mean, you probably notice how much culture there is in these books, how much, you know, things Robert Jordan has taken from like our world, and how he's kind of mixed it up and, you know, come up with his own, you know, ideas, obviously. And Origins basically talks about that. It's really a scholarly work on the background on the man, but also the book. Do you think that's something that interests you, you know?
I could see myself possibly, but again, that kind of gets closer to that. I don't like to read reality. So if it's like kind of talking about Robert Jordan himself, I probably would be a little less likely to want to read it.
Yeah. It makes it a little too real.
Yeah.
So you did say you were going to reread in a couple years, maybe. What are you most looking forward to about that reread? Is there something in particular you really want to go back and look at again?
I know you and I had talked about how sometimes some of the descriptions can get a little, and that's something. I mean, somebody who reads Stephen King, that's something. I mean, he can go on for a page and a half and it'll be, they were at a really nice town that was dusty. And you're like, okay, that was a lot of description for that. So I think that kind of how people are dressed, they spend a lot of time on appearance and dress.
I mean, you don't need to know like the exact shape, size, and design of each button on each sleeve of every person in the room's outfit.
How many braids were in their hair?
Yeah. Well, not that, but like every time you meet them, you have to go over it again. So it's not that. It's like she always had 12 braids made of her hair. We need to be reminded of that every time we meet Aludra. You know, that it has to be like that. Yeah, Jordan definitely was. I was like, I know this. I mean, you don't have to tell me again.
and Stephen King does it, but he does it like in the beginning of the chapter, and then it's done, and then he never does it again. So that's like, so I'm kind of used to it, but not to that. You know, like I said, I would not expect it for three pages in the middle to be talking about why Rand washed his face that morning and what it looked like afterwards. But
I'm just remembering New Spring and Moraine going out to get her dresses and how many pages that was, you know.
The dressmaker.
And the customs of the dress.
Exactly. Yeah. It was very important. Clearly, she needed a certain amount of a certain type and a certain amount of a certain. And the dressmaker was like, no, this is what you actually need.
When did he actually write New Spring?
I think it's around the turn of the millennium. It's like 99. I think it came out the first part of it. The original part was 98, 99. I think then book 10, after book 10, Crossroads, I think the published novella came out.
Because I feel like he wrote it better than he did his first couple of books. I feel like it reads easier.
I always found it hard to read, and the first six books are very easy to read. Well, for different reasons, because, you know, a lot of things are happening and big events happen. And New Spring to me, it's interesting. I have to reread when I eventually do another reread. Look at it from that standpoint, is how is New Spring compared to some of these other books? Yeah.
Well, he did write it later in his life.
Yes.
So he would have had honed his skills by then. So I could see what you're saying, Nick, for sure.
Yeah.
So before you reread Wheel of Time, though, it sounds like you're going to take a break. You're going to figure out the next thing to read. And you said that you often agonize over that. You're often like trying to figure out what next. How do you usually end up deciding?
Sometimes it's a cop-out. Like, I'll just put in because I am a Kindle reader. I don't do the whole, I used to have a giant, you know, hard cover book. But then when you have to move a couple of times, you stop doing that. So I'll like Google a topic. Like in the Kindle whatever store, I'll just say like, maybe I'll say post-apocalyptic fiction, and I'll see if I read this description a few times, or I'll say fantasy and I'll, you know, read it, you know, a couple of descriptions, see what, you know, kind of, or, you know, in your case, it was just, all right, you should really try this, you know, you should read this. But no, sometimes I'll do the, for people who really liked this book, you know, read these three, you know, things like that.
I think one of the ways that we find out like what to read next is that we have all of these friends we've made in the fandom, and they're all fantasy fans. And so they're always telling us like, you know, here's what, I just read this series and it was amazing, or here, you should read this, or the audiobook for this book is really good. You want to listen to this one. So now that you've been on our podcast and you've finished the Wheel of Time, do you think you would ever join the Wheel of Time fandom in any capacity? Would you like join on Twitter or Facebook? Would you ever come to one of the conventions that I go to? What do you think?
I think it's funny because I think I followed a few things. I might have followed something on Facebook or two. I might have done that on Twitter. I don't know about the convention thing, but that's not really me. I think if I were to go to a convention, it'd probably end up being like Comic-Con, you know, just because I've, you know, which can be, you know, I'm more of like a DC guy. Like, I like, you know, Superman, Batman, like those are my heroes. So I could see myself doing something like that at some point. But then again, you know, you're getting a little older, so it doesn't really work as easy. I don't know if I could show up in full costume to do anything.
Never too old.
Yeah. I would say that I never thought I would go to any convention, and I'm like going to every Wheel of Time convention now that I can go to. It is there is something special about you know, meeting other people who have shared interests that are only there to talk about, you know, that thing. Or mm-hmm. you're like, wow, yes, that's exactly that I what I liked about this book or these things. And then, you know, finding those shared kind of interests and share, or you're like, oh, I never thought of it like that, you know. Kind of, it just is, it's a fun experience, not only to just, you know, share things, but it's also like, wow, this, these people are exactly like me, you know, and we're all here to just have fun. I would agree. I never really thought I'd be going to conventions. And I don't know, Grace, if you thought that was the case with you too.
No, I never saw myself falling into this world that I'm part of now at all. And I'm glad I did, but it's definitely never something I really considered before. I mean, I think reading for me was always an introvert thing.
Yeah.
Something that I did by myself and, you know.
Sometimes when people are in the room too.
Yes.
She would just shut off. Gone. Grace was reading.
Yes. I do that. I'm sorry.
you kind of zone out and do things? Is that what happens?
Mm-hmm. That's what I do. Yes. If any of you know me well, I tend to get into my own head. I have a whole world in my head that I just go to sometimes. And sometimes I like check out from like too early. Like I probably should be listening still. And then I just go and then it takes a while to get me back. But it was something I just kind of got lost in my own world. And I never thought about building a community with it. But, you know, I think eventually somewhere along the line, I realized I need people and people are in general good. And, you know, you can trust them to a certain extent. So I'm so happy I found the fandom.
I think I didn't even really know it was a thing. Then I remember talking to somebody at work, probably about 10 years ago. So this is before I even moved to Virginia. And they had said they were going to be OI from you know, the Gunslinger books. And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, I do a reading and I, you know, I'm part of this group. And I'm like, what? Where did that come from? So I didn't really like know it was a thing about books. I mean, I mean, like everybody knows there's like Trekkie conventions and things like that, but I never really like thought of it like being part of a book thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That just makes me think you do know Grace is Bane and Chiat, right? Like, is that, do you know this?
No.
Wait, Grace, you need to explain yourself here.
Well, it's funny when you said like, oh, maybe I followed some things on Twitter. I was going to be like, oh, did you follow Bane and Chiat? that's how I actually found the fandom is through Twitter. And it's funny because I always think of you when I think of Twitter because you were always a big Twitter person and I never understood it. And, you know, I would be hanging out with the family and you would be on Twitter like all day. And I'm like, why? Like, what is this Twitter thing? I don't get it. And then when the show was going to come out, the primary way that news was being shared, at first at least, was on Twitter. So I was like, well, I have to join Twitter now because I need to get this news. I need to follow the showrunner. And so I ended up making a Wheel of Time Twitter account. And that's how this all started. So if you want to, now that you've read the books, now that you know what a dork I am, you can follow at Bane_Chiat. And that's me on Twitter.
It's very,
no pressure though, because it is
famous,
a rabbit hole.
It's a very famous account. You know, it's like really busy.
See, for me though, it's a way for me to keep up with a lot of sporting news because I used, and I hate to say it, but also WWE wrestling. I used to watch them like all those shows, but I think your sister beat it out of me. So now I only keep up with it on Facebook or on Twitter or things like that or TikTok, but that's my, you know, which is, that's a rabbit hole in and of itself. So,
mm-hmm. Well, there's Wheel of Time TikTok too. If you're ever, you know, looking for that, you can find,
yeah.
Do they call it Watt Talk? on us? Is it Watt Talk?
I think it is Watt Talk. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it is. No, but the fandom is, I mean, there's so many ways you can join it. It's conventions, it's Twitter, it's YouTube, it's TikTok. It's especially when you watch the show, and if you're into TV shows and things like that, there's so much, anything you are into, you can now find, you know, people talking about it and being, you know, what we like to call ourselves is hardcore fan freaks. It's a term that is true to what we do, that we just dig deep and talk about things for hours and hours and hours, and we just have fun.
I think I do better when it's, I don't know, I'm probably more a lurker when it comes to social media. I don't really, you know, I'm not that person who's like, oh, like, you know, did you see this or did we do that? I don't really do that for anything. Sometimes I get into large debates about who the starting quarterback is for the New York Giants, but I don't really get into, you know, I try to not do that. I feel like somebody's going to see it someday and have an opinion about it, and then it'll hurt me in some fashion. Like, you know, hey, I really hated Edgeween. You don't get that job. So,
yes. And it's so funny you say that, because she is a huge source of debate on Twitter. It's a kind of a joke. Like every 3 months, there's going to be a huge fight about her on Twitter.
Yes, I can see that. But I think you can find things you hate about all of them at some point. Mm-hmm. Depending on what you like about a person or not like about a person. I was going to ask, but my favorite character is Matt. I don't know why, but it is. I feel like I a kindred spirit with him. So that kind of thing. But I could see where people, if they really hate that, you know, immature type person, it isn't a thing. So I can see where that comes up. He reminds me of my ex. All right, well then I don't like him. That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a thing as what do we call it? Matt bias? You know, is that a thing?
Yes, hashtag Matt bias. People love Matt. You're not alone, Nick. Matt is definitely a fan favorite. But you're right; they all have flaws, and they're all real, and they're human, and they remind you of people you know. And you know, we're all that way too. So naturally, you're gonna like some and not like others. So
yeah, I mean, but the reluctant hero is a thing.
Yeah,
people like the reluctant hero in any.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Jack Shepard, right? The reluctant hero. He hated the island. All of a sudden, he's going to save the line. It is. It's just a thing. People like it.
Jack Shepard, Matt Cawthon. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
weird comparison, right?
It totally fits. Really important question. Tell us something that we don't know about Grace.
Oh, besides her Twitter handle. No, her first Twitter handle. I'm sorry. let's see. I don't know. That's interesting. It's something you don't know about Grace. I don't know. She was really emotional at my wedding. I remember that. That was a big thing. And I did not expect it. I think that was the other thing. I was a little, so, you know, kind of with her upcoming nuptials, I guess. So that's it. It's interesting. I don't think you'll see me crying at your wedding, but it's possible. you probably will see your sister crying, but Steph is, her sister's more of the emotional one. So like, I've never really seen Grace. Grace always seems like always so put together and always so like confident. So it was definitely seeing a different side of her. So that was definitely one thing for me.
You're not emotional. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
I know back then. I don't know now.
What's her tagline on our podcast?
We make people cry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you described it perfectly, Nick. Like, I am put together, and that's who I probably, you know, especially earlier on with you, that's who I portrayed to the world, and that's who I try to be most of the time, and my job demands that I stay in that place. But inside, I like have an inner Stephanie, you know, like I get her because I have that same emotionalness on the inside. I think I just keep it in most of the time, but it's definitely there. And yeah, I think I let it out a bit at that wedding. I probably had a couple drinks and I had to make a speech, and and you know, I only have one sister and she was getting married. It was a lovely time. And I'm glad she found you. And how many years have you been married now?
Wow. You're going to put me on the spot like that now.
17? Is it 17?
17.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, because it's the 17th anniversary is furniture. So because we started doing like the traditional thing and everything else gift wise. So I'm actually sitting on the furniture that we gave each other this year. So
yeah. Nice. Is that out on the patio there?
Yes, it is.
So I have not seen this furniture.
No, it's brand new. It's brand new.
Oh,
she's in a gray phase, so it'll be gray. Just saying.
Okay. She's in her gray period. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Everything's gray.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up soon, Nick. I know you have to go. We usually end our episodes with some rapid questions. So we're just going to alternate questions with you, and you're just going to give a quick answer. First thing that comes to your mind is usually a yes or no or one word answer.
All right. So these are pre-prepared questions? Oh, boy.
Pre-prepared questions. Yeah. They're not going to be too hard, I don't think.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll go first.
All right. Okay.
All right. Favorite Wheel of Time book?
So I'm not great with titles, but it was the second to last one. That
Towers
one.
Of Midnight. Okay. Yep. Towers of Midnight.
Towers of Midnight. Yeah. Okay. You already answered this, but just, you know, for posterity's sake, favorite character?
Matt. Halfway through, I probably would have said Perrin. But at the end, it was Matt.
Most hated character?
Edgeween. That's not even a question.
Favorite scene from the books?
I honestly think early on I probably would have said Rand in the garden with where he tumbled into the castle and everything else. Yeah, I just thought that was like a good chance meeting. I thought I already knew that something was going to happen between them. So I would have said that, but I think honestly, you know, after reading the whole series, it would have been, it's Lan and Rand at the end where they're, I like, you know, just kind of the two scenes where he's fighting, you know, they're practice fighting and they're kind of, and he's teaching them, but also when he confronts him. So it was, I think that was two books. Maybe that was a book before the last one where he confronts him and he hurts him and, you know, not Ran and Lan. I'm sorry. Ran and his father. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Tam.
Okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's what you're referring to. Good.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
The other father figure with the three lettered name.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's my biggest complaint about the series. So if that's coming up, I'll wait.
No, that's not in there. So tell us, what's your biggest complaint?
My biggest complaint about the series is how many of the names sound exactly the same. And it's very hard to kind of, you know, distinguish, all right, well, Myrel is different than Marel. And you're like,
so not, you don't like that Swan, Sian, and Sane, and
Saren and Seregla.
Yeah, it's too much. And Grace is like, well, did you read the glossary? I was like, I don't like reading glossaries. Like when you texted me back, you're like, oh, you should read the glossary. And I'm like, I hate doing that. I feel like that shouldn't have to happen. You know,
okay. There's a whole book. It's called.
I know. I was like, so don't buy Nick Wheel of Time Companion for Christmas. Got it. Okay.
It's me.
You're
Min. Wait, where'd it go? Oh, you took it.
I took it out because he already answered it.
Okay, good.
He's already answered it like three times.
What is it? Which one?
It was Perrin, Matt, or Rand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Min, Elaine, or Avienda?
Oh, Elaine. It's not even. I was a little annoyed because I didn't feel like her character was developing enough, but I think it was Elaine at the end. And That was one of the characters I wanted to see what she looked like, because the way they described her in the book, I'm like, oh, she's got to be drop dead gorgeous. Like, she's got to be this, you know, she's got to look regal.
I remember you texting me about that with Elaine and how you wanted her to have a better like evolution. And I said, keep reading. What did like one of my favorite scenes is her speech to the soldiers while she's like running around with the sword. What did you think of that
Her
scene?
brave heart moment, right?
Yes. So good.
You know, she could have yelled freedom and we would have been all set, right? So,
Yes. Does quote unquote the slog exist in the Wheel of Time?
absolutely. And I think we talked about it, and you're like, oh, you're in the middle of it right now. And I'm like, no, it's, it does. It didn't need to, because there was enough happening in those books that had it been written differently, he probably would have been okay. So that's just, it wasn't like he didn't have the source, or he didn't have the material, or he didn't have the story to tell at that point. It's just the way he wrote them, it just seemed not correct. I don't know.
How many Elaine bath scenes are enough bath scenes?
That's interesting. I don't know. It depends on how they show him in the show. No,
I gotta send you. There's this hilarious picture of Kira Coveney in a bathtub with like a wine glass, and it's like from her Instagram or something, and it's like so perfectly Elaine. I'll have to send that to you.
yeah, I don't, I think that, yeah, the bath thing, that was a little annoying. It's one of those, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of just like, all right, I think that's what they do. I mean, it's the same thing with like the sweat huts. Like, okay, how many times do we have to hear that that's how they take a bath? And you know, okay, I get it, you know. And how many times do we have to hear that they're all sitting around naked and that's a thing too? So like, that's normal. Yeah, sure. Wondering how they're going to do that on the Amazon series, but whatever.
Last question. Who killed Asmodian?
Who killed Asmodean? Huh, that's a good one. I don't know. Now that I never realized that it was up for debate, because it was never really answered. Huh,
Well,
that's.
Robert Jordan would say it was intuitively obvious to, what was it, the most
Casual
observer?
fan, casual observer.
It's not.
So it wasn't answered. Okay.
It's not. It's not.
I, you know what? That was, I mean, that's like the foot thing in Lost, right? I mean, like, who built the statue? You know, it's the same thing, you know. I get it. That's weird. I never even realized that was something that was just never answered.
Okay, so let's not tell Nick. So this was answered in the Wheel of Time Companion, which I'm never going to buy for you, so you'll never read it. We're not going to spoil it for you. What would be great is if on your reread you like tell us your theories
Well,
like as you reread.
no, it's answered in the books too.
Is it?
The no,
No.
in Towers of Midnight. In
I thought it was just like in the glossary
yeah,
though.
and so yes.
Okay, well he's never going to read the glossary either.
Glossary. But I'll have to look
Don't
now.
look, don't
So read through it again and
And
you'll
theorize.
it.
Give us all your Asmodean theories.
So for years and years for fans, when Book five? Yeah, book five. Yeah, As Far As I Haven't Ended. Everyone's like, who killed Asmodean? There was a group of people who were like, okay, Asmodean's dead, whatever, who cares? But there are people who, like, for years wanted to figure out who killed Asmodean and had so many theories about it. And the way it was revealed was quite anticlimactic, because that's kind of what Robert Jordan felt about it at the end, because everyone would ask him. And he would be like, well, no, it's obvious. You should know who it is. And maybe he changed his mind multiple times about, you know, about this. But yeah, that is a question a lot of people do think about a lot.
See, you know, now that I kind of like start to think about it, it's like, you know, by the end, the Dark One is, or you know, his vessel on Earth, that they're killing everybody who messes up, or they're putting him in. So if I had to think about it, that's where it happened. Like, if I had to like guess now, now that I know that it wasn't like specifically answered, I would say that that's what it would be. Like, he was the first killing for failing the Dark One.
No, that's a really good answer. Although it is a canonical answer that there, we know who killed Asmodean. It's not up for debate.
Actually, speaking of Asmodean, I wanted to ask, do you have a favorite of the Forsaken?
Honestly, I was warming up, and again, names are really bad, but the one that was in the last book, last scene, what's her name? She never seemed to die. The spider.
Mogedion.
She was giving, she actually was growing on me until she, at the end, where she just turned again and you're like, oh, come on, you know. I want to say, yeah, that's, she would, I don't know. I don't, maybe Asmodean, now that I think about it, because he would seem to be the most helpful out of all of them.
That is true.
Yeah, I really wanted like a redemption arc for Asmodean. I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to like end up going to the good side.
Everybody else seemed to just be just purposefully evil, and just that's what they were. It's funny hearing how you guys say the names, because in my head I don't say them that way. Like Mogedion is what I said.
They say that on the audiobooks.
Okay. they say that on the audiobooks until they say it as Mogedion.
They change it a little bit.
That is how it is accepted throughout the fandom too. You know, people say it however they like to say it. Again, some people are like, have you not read the glossary? Yeah, no. Like, even when I've read the glossary, I don't look at how it's phonetically
thought about that. I could have done that too. But I did the same thing with Hermione Granger.
Yeah.
Where a lot of times, and then I think at one point during the books, there was somebody who, Victor Krum, like, says her name, and I'm like, oh, so that's that, you know, like oh, yeah. So that's how it is. But yeah, it has been interesting to hear, you know, naive, right? Like, that's how I always said it, naive. And then that sounds pretty bad, you know, because she's not really.
Definitely not.
Edwin, I'm glad I got that one right. Ran was pretty easy. But they all start sounding the same, you know, Tam, Lan, you know, obviously I've already mixed those two up earlier.
Nick, I need to tell you something.
What?
We say Egwene.
Egwene. Oh. Egwene. Egwene. Oh, wow.
I mean, no, seriously though, like, if there is like one rule of the fandom, it's you can say the names however you want. Okay. Like, even the audiobook reader person is very, she gets very angry when people ask her about pronunciation, because she's like, it's whatever you want. but I just thought it was funny. You were like, yeah, I got Edwin, right?
I couldn't even Egwene. Wow.
Egwene, yeah.
So that is,
because it's, so she's based on Guinevere.
Okay.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
But keep saying it the way you want, like the way that's in your heart. Like, that's,
I don't think I'd ever say it, Egwene. So you're not going to win me over on that one.
That's funny, because, you know, a lot of people like Taim. You people say Tame.
Absolutely.
And it's the way Robert Jordan he said it's Taim. And by the way, that, did you think Taim Demondred? Did that Demondred, or did you think that was? No, not him. Sorry. Yeah. Those two. Yeah.
I felt like Tame. Yeah. Tame.
Yeah.
did I like him as a character, or?
No. As in, like, the fact that, because that was the other thing where everyone was like, when he first shows up, that it's actually Demondred showing up in Lord of Chaos.
But it wasn't, though. So did you think that it was? Did you make that connection? Like, think that they were the same person at first?
Oh, no, okay. Absolutely not.
So Robert Jordan, like, was right that they were never. It was never meant to be. That's good. That's good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think what was tripping me up today, actually, or no, it was a couple days ago, was tripping me up is the fact that Moraine is like distance cut distant somehow distantly related to Rand, or at least that's what, because they're part of the house of Damodred, right? Isn't that her?
Yeah, they are. It's like, so
Sort of by marriage,
yeah,
right?
right. So
Because Rand is.
Tarangale was married to Morghaze, who is Tarangale's Galad's dad, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
And he is,
And
how is he related to Moraine? I forget now. He's related to Moraine, right? That's how,
maybe.
that's, I think
Maybe I
that's the
missed.
link. I think that is
I
the
think
link.
Galad is the
I
link.
felt like they were the house, because isn't Galad's last name Damodred?
Yes. So Galad's related, and then so Galad and Rand share a mom. They're not, Moraine and Rand aren't blood related, but
No.
they are.
Like,
They are connected via family tree.
yes.
Yeah. So yeah, that did trip me up today. Or it was not today, but a couple days ago. I was like, oh, her last name. And then I'm like, then I remembered, and everything that kind of went on. Like, hey, you got a brother now. All right, now go die. That was a little weird. And I some of those things you kind of would have wanted to happen a little earlier. And then, kind of there was a little bit more to that before the dying. But yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been a blast, and good luck finishing New Spring. I'm sure I will get a text from you when you're done, and I can share your thoughts. I have been sharing little updates here and there on the podcast. We have a segment called What in the Wild, Wheel of Time in the Wild, and we always share when we hear stuff from other people in our lives. So thank you for all of the updates and sharing that with me. Is there anything else you want to say about the Wheel of Time or
No,
anything else?
it's a really it's it was really worth it. I thank you for asking me to, and for me actually listening for once. But I am stubborn, as you know,
No,
so
you listened about Lost, so
That's
yeah.
true. That's true. He does listen, just
Yes,
takes his
it
time
just
about
takes
it.
my time.
All right. Anas, anything else before we wrap up?
No, thank you for joining us. It's always great. There are all these, again, within this fandom, we see a lot of people like this, who first are reading the books because of someone else in their life. And it's always awesome to see that kind of journey and see it come, to the end. And so, yeah, that's awesome that you've read the books now and, are finishing up and you're going to watch the show. And it'd be great to continue to hear your thoughts about this, because that's what's great about what we do, is just sharing our experience of just geeking out about things we like.
Yeah, that's what we're all about, sharing. So we'll definitely have to check in with you in the future. So that's it for tonight. If you like what we do here at the Lights Work, please follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Lights Work Pod. You can find us on Instagram at the Lights Work. You can also join our Discord server or sponsor us on Patreon. And until next week, it's your turn to go out into the world and do the Lights Work. The Lights Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Light's work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.